Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Lay, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. This is your host, Stephanie Wallace. And tonight, we're going to bring you something special. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to bring you story time. The late host, we're going to go back into our past. Go for a trip down memory lane, and we're going to bring you a couple of stories. Hopefully, you will enjoy it. And let's say hello to our co-hosts, Tyson and Ms. Z. Dawn is not going to be with us today. Today is a special day for Dawn. He's calling it, today is the anniversary of his, I don't know. I don't know if he wants to call it a rebirth or whatever, but it's the anniversary of him, his restructuring of his life or whatever it is. That wonderful, Dawn, that you guys hear here, you know, on Laid, and, you know, you saw him speak at ICS, you know, that's, he came to about a year ago. All right, hold on, here's, we're going to say hello to Tyson. Hey, Tyson, how you doing?
Hey, Dawn, what do you mean by that?
Dawn, hold on, let me be in first, and then I'll explain to you what's going on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me let her in. Hey, Ms. V.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're fine. I was just explaining to, about to explain to Tyson, this is like a discovery for Dawn, you know, his patience, tolerance, and acceptance. You know, when he had been in the hospital, he had been admitted into the hospital emergency room, and pretty much he was on his way out of here. And he can explain it much better than I can. But in past experiences that he's had going into the hospital, it was an ugly situation, and he was not a very, you know, the Dawn that we know, the sweet, kind, always happy, always up, Dawn. He wasn't usually like that when he went into the hospital. And he developed a new attitude, and it's an attitude that,
okay,
that has lasted. So he calls it his, yeah, it is. So he's celebrating that today, which is very nice.
Okay.
And we wish him a wonderful day, and hopefully he's having a wonderful, wonderful time celebrating. But today is story time. We're doing something new today, guys. Y'all ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You ready,
sure.
Ms. V?
Yes, I am.
All right. So we're going to start with you, Ms. V. What we're going to try and squeeze all of us in, so we got to watch the time. If I jump in there and stop you, it's just for the sake of time. So what are you going to share? What have you found to share with us, Ms. V?
I'm going to share with y'all the first time I ever got my heart broke. And it was the last time I've ever got my heart broke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. When I first had my first boyfriend, I was 15 years old. I was all stupid and goofy and in love and everything like that. We met in junior high school, 15 years old, junior high school, and everything like that. And I remember, we were together all the time. We did everything together and everything like that. And I think somebody probably told me that after a while, because we stayed together from 15 to 18. And I think I remember somebody telling me that he was cheating on me. And even the person that told me that he was cheating on me, I think I stopped being their friend because I didn't believe it.
Oh.
Yeah, and one day I remember we in the bedroom. We were just in the bedroom. You know, we young, so we wasn't in the bedroom. We was in my mommy's house in the bedroom. He's sitting on the couch. I'm
chilling, just chilling.
Yeah, and I said to him, Kenny, are you cheating on me? And when I said that, he jumped up and he left, like, he just jumped up and left. And I can't run after him because I'm disabled. So I couldn't run after him. And at first I was just wondering, like, where is he going? And then he just walked out the door, and I remember being at the window calling him, Kenny! Kenny! Like that, like,
I still didn't understand what was going on.
Okay, so after he left, in my house, we couldn't get too emotional over things, so I had to keep all that in, on myself. I couldn't go to my sisters, couldn't go to my mother, couldn't run after him. So it was a mess, you know. So every day I would call him, and every day one of his sisters or brothers would pick up the phone and say, he ain't here. He's not here. He's not here. So that Saturday, I remember calling him, and I said to him, his mother answered the phone, and I asked to speak to him. She was one of those you didn't play with, one of them kind of mamas. And I asked to speak to him. My heart, I was all scared and sweaty and everything like that. And he said, I could hear him telling her, tell her I'm not here. And she said, no, you want to tell her you're not here, you take this phone and tell her you're not here. Stop all that craziness like that. And he got on the phone. I said, Kenny, what did I do? Why won't you talk to me? Blah, 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 blah. And he said, I'm coming over. And but he said, because I was the type of person, I was very abusive. So I was the type of person that would like to get you in the corner and start fighting and stuff like that. So one thing he said to me was, meet me in the hallway on the stairs and we can talk. Okay, so that's what I did. I hurried up and got dressed. And when he knocked on the door, everybody in my house was still asleep. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning. So I said, okay. So when he knocked on the door, we went on the stairs. I was in my wheelchair. We went on the stairs, and we were talking. I said, there was a song. It was so funny. It was a song from the Jackson 5. It was called Give Me One More Chance. And I'm so young. I started reciting these words to this song. Give me one more chance. That's all I ask of you. Just one more chance. I'll make it up to you. But at first, I started.
Wait, he was saying those words to you?
No, I was saying those words to him. Even before he said anything, this is what I was saying to him. What's wrong?
What did I do?
Give me one more chance. That's all I ask of you. Just one more chance. I'll make it up to you. Yeah, well, I think of it now. So, then he put down the boomer. He said, I got somebody new. I don't want to be with you no more. I got somebody new. And I said, what? And I reached out, like because he started moving. So I reached out to him. When I reached out to him, he ran down the stairs. And I said, Kenny! And I wanted to come out down those steps behind him. I swear to you, but I knew that I was
Oh, my
myself.
Goodness.
And I was like, oh, my God, what did this man just say to me? What just happened? I kept on thinking, like, my head was, like, crazy. Like, what just happened? Because, like, I can't run after him. I can't go after him. I can't talk to him because he just ran away from me. What the hell just happened? And so my girlfriend lives around the corner from me, my best friend. She lives around the corner from me on my floor, right in my floor. So I went around the corner where she was. I'm knocking on her door. And I go, Dana, Kenny just told me that he has somebody new. That's what he said. He says, I got somebody new. And, you know, we can't, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm breaking up with you. I have somebody new. I said, Dana, Kenny just told me he's messing with somebody else. He has somebody new. He don't want me no more. She said, oh, you didn't know that already? I been knew that.
This is your best friend? My best friend.
And now, mind you, I just told you somebody else just had told me that I stopped talking to that guy. Because he said to me, Kenny has somebody new that he's seeing. And I got mad at the guy, and I stopped talking to him. Now, she's telling me the same thing. My mother will tell you right now, she thought I was going to die. That was the worst summer I ever, I couldn't believe it. It was just, I was devastated. I was, oh, my God, I was tore down. I was tore down. My mother did everything she possibly could to bring me back to some type of life.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say one more thing real quick. Yeah, I hurt, but I promised myself. Somebody told me that the church that his girlfriend went to, his uncle was the deacon at, and that's the church that they were going to. I took myself to the church. I wanted to see what this girl looked like. Because my thing is, and I told you once before, that my biggest fear is a man leaving me for an able-bodied woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go to the church because I had to see this woman. I had to see her. So I took my sisters and my friends, and we went to the church, and we were there. We were all peeking her out, and she peeked us out. And she went back to Kenny.
Your phone is messing up a little.
Oh.
I'm having a little problem hearing you.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Well, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. She peeked me out that I was peeking her out. She went back to Kenny and told him that I was peeking him out, that I was peeking her out. He, in turn, went and got her whole family because he wanted to prove a point. So what he did was he got me in my face with the family looking, and he told me off right in front of her. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Yep.
After that was it. That was it. I wasn't in love no more. Nope. That was it. And after that, I promised myself, I will never let another man hurt me ever again. And I kept my promise. That was when I was 18 years old. I'm 55 today. And I've never let it happen again. Nope. I will never. Nope.
Wow.
It can't happen again.
Now, did that cause you to not give men a fair chance, or you know what I mean?
When I see a relationship getting stinky on my end, I just cut it off. When I see it happening, when I see it coming up, I'm the first one to step in it and put an end to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do.
That sounds so sad.
Yeah, oh, God, girl, please. Unfortunately, and this is the truth, I always loved him, but he passed away. He passed away when we were young. He was playing basketball, he passed away. And I always told myself, when I die, he's going to be the first person I see.
First person you'll see?
Because that's what I believe in that. I believe, you know, when you die, you see people. He's going to be standing there waiting for me. I had a dream when I was younger that he came for me. And I told him I couldn't leave because I hadn't said goodbye to my family. So he said to me, okay, but when, so, you know, to me, it says that if you die, when a person dies and you dream about them and they come to get you, if you go with them, you're going to die. So I told him I couldn't go right then. I hadn't said bye to my family. So he said, next time I come for you, you have to go. So the next time I see him, or when I die, I'm going to see him. That's what, I always believe that. He's going to be the first person I see. I'm going to say, Kenny. Yeah. Anyway, that's my story.
Be like, Kenny, remember what you did to me in front of your girl family? No,
Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. I got something
for you.
Yeah,
Well, I'll go next, but my story is not that long as it was.
Yeah.
But my story is transportation. Yeah. I haven't taken a train in a year and a half. I had a terrible the train. I would never take the train again. Everybody takes the train, but just me. I had a bad experience. What it was that with my other aide, we was coming from Manhattan somewhere. I forgot where. Anyway, we got off downtown Brooklyn. on Decap and Flatbush right in front of Applebee's in Long Island University. Yes. Because the train got off there and the operator was fucking broke. I was so mad and so scared. I didn't know what to do. I had just got sick. And then with all the snow, I had to walk up all the long steps. I could not believe it. This elevator broke again on me. This time the person, some person carried me up the stairs in my head. I could not, I said, don't drop me. Please don't drop me. I was a big punk. I would not take the train.
I've heard about that happening.
But then recently, I had went to Thorby for the first day, and I go to X. It's called as Express Access, not Access.
Aspire.
Aspire, yes. It's on the first street between 7th and 8th. So I have a problem. I had a problem with SSRI also that day. They wanted me to walk 10 blocks to meet them to get my body to go home. And then I wouldn't make that big in time. So I told my aide we had to take the train home. And then by taking the train home, I had to get up at the same stop again. I had to face my fear. I said, oh, God. See, that is already be working. And yes, it was. Yes, it was working. Thank God for that. But as I said, I will never put myself through this never again.
I know that anxiety of, I get anxiety when I'm going on the train myself. You know, I always got this fear that I'm going to go flying off the side, or something, or something happen when I get in or out of the train or something.
But
I still want to try getting on the train.
When I get on the train, I don't know where to get on so that when I get over, I'll be right by the elevator, you see?
Because it's not always not always at the same spot. You're supposed to get on a train where the conductor be in the same car as the conductor. But that's not going to necessarily let you off where the elevator is.
But that's
the safest place for you to board the train. But you know what you can look into? You can look into train. Talk to them in the rehab department at ICS and let them know you want travel training. Cool. And they can make some type of appointment or arrangements with Accessoride for you to get travel training.
Okay.
You know, on how to do the buses and the trains. Because I want to do the same thing myself.
Will travel training take your excess ride away from you, or make it hard for you to keep your excess ride?
I don't know.
I'll
ask some questions. Maybe it could be a group thing. Maybe we can get a group thing going with that. I'll find out. Okay. My story today. It's about the time my boyfriend and I got caught in his mother's bedroom. Okay. What are you laughing? You don't know we could have been cleaning up for her. You don't know what happened.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Well, okay, let me just ask a question. What makes you laugh?
What was I doing? What you want and quarter having sex or what?
You want to know what happened? All right, let me get started. It was our 1 year anniversary.
Huh?
I must have been 17 because I missed him when I was 16. I met him when I was 16. So it was our 1 year anniversary, and he invited me over for a romantic dinner. Right? Come on, no judgment, just listen. So I come over, and he makes me a steak dinner. Nice steak, baked potatoes, salad, rolls, and the butter he had sitting out, so it'll be nice and soft. I didn't drink, so we had ginger ale and champagne glasses and everything. It was really nice, candlelight. It was beautiful. It really was. And, you know, so we ate and everything, and afterwards we were laying down on the couch, you know, talking, you know, whatever, just chilling or whatever. And then we went into his mother's bedroom, you know, to watch TV. You know, because back then everybody didn't have a TV in their room. You know, we were watching TV in his mother's bedroom. And I started feeling sick, right? Every year I used to get a throat infection. Right, so I got this fever, and I was just like passed out. You know, I was laying down, and his sister came, and you know, she came, and she knocked. He was like, get in the closet. But I was really so messed up and so sick that I couldn't even get up and get into the closet. Right, and his sister comes, and she comes into the room, and, you know, she confronts us about being in the room. We were fully dressed. There was nothing going on or whatever. But, you know, she comes into the room, and she was, you know, we were fully dressed or whatever, and she wanted to know, what is she doing here, you know, and everything like that. And, you know, he's like, she's sick, you know, whatever, you know. Anyway, that was how we got caught in the bedroom. But his mother, after that, his mother never treated me the same again. Before that incident, I was the sweetest thing in the world to her. Every time I would call, Glenn, telephone, so-and-so. Now I would call, she'd be, Glenn, telephone. You know, it was like she could not stand me. You know, but I always had this good girl image. I'm going to say, and I'm not going to say I'm a bad girl. I'm not going to say I was a bad girl. I wasn't. I was decent. You know, we just didn't get, things went down that day, but just not in his mother's bedroom. We really weren't in the bedroom watching TV. But, yeah. But then his sister came around also because later on, she had helped him pick out these a gift for me, these earrings. I love the earrings that I really liked, you know, or whatever. And she helped him surprise me and all that kind of stuff like that. It was really nice. He had some really nice ways, but he was a fucking idiot. Excuse my language. He was crazy. He ended up being crazy. I don't even know how to even describe it. Because as a young girl, I mean, I was young. This is really my first real boyfriend. And I was his first real girlfriend. But he was trying to put on airs of something, like he was a little bit more worldly, a little bit more down, or, you know, more of a homeboy, if you will, or whatever. And
how old were you?
I was 16 when I met him. And we stayed together for about, matter of fact, that wasn't even our year anniversary. I think that was a month anniversary. Yes, that was a month, because we were only together for about a year. But he did some crazy stuff, man. He used to call my dad. Because my dad really liked him, because he was very respectful when he called. He'd call my house, good evening, sir. How are you, Mr. Wallace, sir? You know, have a little conversation with my father, and then, can I please speak to Stephanie? And my father, when he came to meet my father, first of all, he was nervous as I don't know what. And it was funny, because my father, if you look at me, you would imagine that my parents are also big people. My father is about 5 foot. He was about 5'4", but he had a deep voice. So he was really kind of nervous coming to meet my father. We was going to go out for Easter, and he's coming to meet my father for the first time. And, you know, he was just so nervous. He was like, okay, wait, don't open the door yet. And, you know, he came in, he met my father, him and my father talking, me and my sister in the bathroom, in the mirror, I'm getting ready or whatever. And my father tells him, you need to talk to her because I wasn't doing too good in school. Little did my father know was I wasn't doing too good in school because of him. Because of my involvement with him. It was because of me, but he was taking away my attention. And he comes in there and, yeah, your father told me to talk to you and blah, 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 blah. But he would do things like call my father. One time he called my father and told my father that I was pregnant. And don't worry, Mr. Wallace, I'll take care of the baby. I come home, and my father, he used to play bass. Like, you know the bass fiddle, stand up. You remember Tom and Jerry, is you, it go boom, boom, boom. Right. My father used to play that. It's funny because it was taller than him. But I come in, and he just boom, 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 boom. You know, playing like crazy. And then, you know, I said, hey, Dad, how you doing? You know, whatever. He's like, Glenn called. I was like, okay. He said you was pregnant. What? I'm not pregnant. Yeah. All he would say is, time will tell. Time will tell. You know, glad Tom told that I wasn't pregnant. But he messed up, you know, he kind of messed up, you know, part of the relationship with me and my father because he was really an asshole. He was really an asshole. One of those, I'm not going to let you go type of people. You know, he had a best friend from Virginia, was here from Virginia. His father, the best friend's father lived upstairs. I'll make this short because we got to save it for next time because we're about to run out of time soon. But I just want to remind everybody, you know, if you guys like story time, please give us some feedback on the Lay page. Let us know how you feel about story time. If you're listening, I see we ain't having no callers, but we'll see. We got to pick the show back up. I've been falling off. Last week, totally forgot about the show. I apologize. I remembered on Tuesday, I'm an accessory, and I'm like, hey, I didn't even do a show yesterday. I don't know where my mind was, but, you know, I got the grandkids here for the summer, and just when I do other things on a Monday, I totally mess up. You messaged me today, Ms. V, and asked me, are we still on for the day? And I'm like, well, what's today? You know?
Yeah.
Totally forgot, you know. So it would be great if one of you guys can remind me on a Monday, because I'm just like.
No problem.
Scatterbrain. And I want to remind everybody of the August 19th, Friday, August 19th, From Within Women's Conference is coming up. So at John Jay College. So you guys, make sure you register. Go to the ICS page to find out where to register. I'll be putting it up on my page. You know, whatever, Ms. V, you can share it on your page. Tyson, share it on your page.
Yeah.
You know, so people can come and register. This is a nice conference, workshops, nice, good information for women and women's health. Do they have anything about men's health? You should find out about that, Tyson.
Yeah, I'm inquiring about that.
That is something
like that for me too.
Okay, we have a few seconds left. I want to say thank you, everybody, for listening. This is Laid, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. We will be back again next week with story time again, so you guys think of something else. You guys are old enough to have more stories. And Tyson, we want a story.
Okay.
Tyson, we want a story. Okay, join us back here next Monday at 6 p.m., and we'll see you later. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.